Evans had a pretty good season against the Oakland A's this year, hitting .298, including five homers. Done a lot of damage here as well.
And this is not an easy park to hit one out of, especially at night. Here comes the 3-2. And Gaddis drives this one out into left center field. Long run for Eibner, still going back, and that ball is gone. Evan Gaddis goes yard for the 28th time this year, and the Astros have a 1-0 lead.
Career high now for Evan Gaddis. He had 27 a couple of seasons ago with Atlanta, and that was a line drive over that high wall in left center field. And his sixth home run against the A's now this season.
Breaking ball, and that's lifted pretty deep to left center field. Mariznick racing back, still going back, looking up, and that's gone. Second home run of the inning for the A's. This one belongs to Maxwell, and that is his first major league home run. It's a 2-1 A's lead. There's one out. We're in the top of the eighth inning. A's with a 2-1 lead over the Astros. And Tyler White coming up as a pinch hitter for Jason Castro, who is 3-for-10 with two RBIs as a pinch hitter this year. 2-2. That's hit sharply over the head of Healy and fair down the left field line. Hernandez on his way to third base. Davis digging it out of the corner. Hernandez around third and coming home. He will score. It's a pinch hit RBI double for Tyler White. We're tied at two.
Third pinch hit double for Tyler White in just the last couple of weeks now. None bigger than that one. The Astros still alive here.
Last hope for the A's as Ryan Healy extended his hit streak to 10 games with a home run in the second. He is 1-for-3 tonight. 1-0. And that's hit straight up in the air on the infield. Who wants it? Carlos Correa called off by Altuve, and he makes the catch on the infield dirt, and that is the ball game. The Houston Astros come from behind, scoring three times in their last two at-bats to defeat the Oakland A's 4-2.
Well, a lot of good pitching. 2 hours and 41 minutes in this ball game. Big two-run single by Marwin Gonzalez in the ninth inning, and once again, the Astros steal one away from this Oakland A's team.
Welcome to another Astros podcast.
Welcome back. Robert Ford joined by Astros manager A.J. Hinch. And, you know, you look at last night's game against the A's, and those are the sort of games you have to win when you're fighting for what the Astros are fighting for with just a couple of weeks left trying to get into the postseason, down for much of the game, but the late comeback.
Yeah, I mean, it's a game that adds anxiety as the game goes along. You know, when you start running out of outs, it gets a little bit taxing on your mind. But we hung in there. You know, we didn't score or hit the ball very well early outside of the one home run by Gaddis, but we hung in there enough to be able to get to their bullpen, score a couple of runs. We had a big hit by Marwin once they walked the bases loaded. And, you know, those type of things with a shutdown bullpen is how you win the game.
And you mentioned the big hit by Marwin. Big hit by the pinch hitter Tyler White. Had the game-tying RBI double in the eighth inning. He's come up huge in pinch hitting situations lately.
He has. He's really embraced the role. And, you know, he's not getting a ton of playing time except against a couple lefties or maybe a pinch hit here and there. But he does put up a quality at bat. I think his swing's gotten a little bit more efficient in September here. He came up big against a right-hander yesterday that was having a little bit more success against righties. Not only continuing the inning, but continuing the inning by hitting the ball in the corner and Teo could score from first. So, you know, when you're in these close games, it's these small at-bats that end up being key.
How tough is it for any player, but especially a rookie like White, to be able to handle the role that he's been in and still succeed and get some big pinch hits?
Yeah, the hot cold is not easy for any player, but especially those that are just trying to break in. You know, the consistency of seeing pitches and the belief in getting the hit at the big moment is always key, and that comes with experience. These guys are having to be thrown in there. Tony Kemp, Tyler White, A.J. Reed when he gets in there, Teoscar when he's not playing, coming off the bench. So the makeup of our team is young by nature in the position player group, and it really starts to hit home whenever you make big pinch hits like that.
We're starting to see the starters do a better job of getting deeper in the game. Saw Brad Peacock pitch into the sixth inning yesterday, and I guess there's kind of that balance too, because at this point pretty much every game's a playoff game, so you want your starters to go deep, but obviously going to have a shorter leash considering the circumstances.
Yeah, you want to get them out there. You know, this season and where we're at and where the health of the bullpen is, the number of bodies that we have, I do want to get these guys out here at the first sign of needing them. You know, sometimes it's you want to be an inning too early or a batter too early rather than a batter too late or a hitter too late. It doesn't always work out that way. We had a tough game with Pfister in Seattle on Sunday. I wasn't able to get the bullpen, you know, up and ready in time. So When these playoff games, these playoff atmospheres, the pitch count's out the window, the inning's out the window, you pitch as long as you're good. And when you can turn it over to Davinsky's and Harris and Gregerson and Giles, Neshek's come up big, Sip got a couple big outs. That's a very deep bullpen to go to.
A.J. Hinch, thanks for joining us.
You got it.
Back with more of Astro Launch right after this.
The following Minute of Astros History featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out. Here's Dirk.
Artist Andy Warhol once said that in the future, everyone would be world famous for 15 minutes. On September 20th, 2007, Houston native J.R. Toll stretched that limit. Toll set a new club record with 8 RBIs in St. Louis. In the second inning, the Astros catcher doubled in 2 runs. In the fourth, his single plated 2 more. He hit a ground rule double to drive in his 5th run in the 6th. The next time up, he was hit by a pitch. In the 8th inning, he walked with the bases loaded. Had the Astros been playing at home, that would have been enough. But because they were in St. Louis, they batted in the 9th, and Tolles hit his first major league homer. J.R. Tolles exceeded Andy Warhol's allotment of fame by 2 hours and 52 minutes.
Thanks, Dirk. Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
Welcome back to Astro Launch, everybody. This is Steve Sparks, just ahead of the second game of this series with the Oakland A's. And my guest today is the radio broadcaster for the AAA affiliate for the Astros, the Fresno Grizzlies, and it's Doug Greenwald. And Doug, thanks first of all for coming out here to Oakland and seeing us out here and half the team right now on this Astros team you've seen along the way.
Old home week. I go down and everyone's coming up to me. Hey, Doug, what are you doing here? And, yeah. You know, it's great because I was talking to James Hoyt about this before the game night, and you've been there in the minor leagues and major leagues.
Yeah.
People that come to Minute Maid Park, great ball fans, no doubt about it, but don't see all the work that goes in, early work in the lower levels.
Yeah.
That guys earn their way to this level, and right. It's great to see the finished product.
What a great story James Hoyt is. I mean, you guys have seen him for the last 2 years. He's dominated the Pacific Coast League, and just a great guy to go with it.
Great guy and an even better story. Here's a guy that was never even drafted, mm-hmm. had to try out for an independent league,
yeah.
works his way into Yuma, plays for and with Jose Canseco, both on the same pitching staff. And then the Braves sign him, and again, James and I talked about the journey. Winter ball in Mexico, winter ball in Venezuela, Dominican, Yuma, Lynchburg, Wichita, gets traded from the Braves, probably the best thing that ever happened to him,
yeah.
and you see what he's done in the Astros system and now here. So fabulous story and an even better person.
Cool story with Brady Rogers. He's a local kid just outside of Houston in Richmond, Texas, but what a great season he had this year. He was the pitcher of the year in the Pacific Coast League, and tell me what you saw with Brady Rogers this year.
Well, he didn't walk anybody, or he barely walked anybody. I mean, his walks and hits innings pitch was like 1.1 or something ridiculous like that. A guy who I think by his admission, I talked to him about it, needed that second year in the PCL. That first year in that league can be a wake-up call. You had veteran hitters, and that get-me-over fastballs not getting over all the time.
Yeah.
He needed that second year, I think, and he was injured toward the end of last season. So that second year really helped him. Just great control, great maturity. You know, certainly mixes his pitches well. Good four-pitch guy.
Yeah.
And living his dream of being an Astro. I mean, his early days were the Astrodome memories. Mm. Biggio and Bagwell and that group. And now get to wear the Astro uniform. And I talked to him before the game yesterday. And Brady says, hey, it's great. It's a 20-minute drive from my house.
Yeah. What's it like to watch the maturation or the confidence grow in a pitcher? Like you mentioned 2 years ago, he struggled a little bit, maybe just humbled. But when you get back there and you see a guy's confidence start to grow, when does it click? I mean, do you start to notice a specific game or something click for him?
Yeah, I mean, there might be that 10-strikeout game where a guy figures it out, or maybe the second time against the team he finally figures out the hitters. But I think like anything in life, it's just experience or repetition at a certain level. And whether it was Brady Rogers this year, Mike Hosschild, I know didn't get up to here this year, but had a great year.
Yeah.
Won 9 games. His second year in the league, really utilizing a split finger and a fork ball up there, or meaning Fresno. And I think Mike will tell you the same thing. And even Hoyt, for example, he had a great season last year, but came back again with that vengeance to get out of Fresno. So I think there's just just getting the opportunity and getting into more games.
Talking with Doug Greenwald, he's the radio broadcaster for the Fresno Grizzlies. And I want to ask you about Colin Moran. You've seen him quite a bit now. It seems like he's just got that pretty swing. Not a lot of power yet, but it looks like there's power in there. Give me your assessment of him as a player and as a guy.
Very soft-spoken guy. Grew up in a baseball family. His uncle's B.J. Surhoff, so obviously some good bloodlines there. but can spray the ball to all fields. Adequate defensively, I think that's maybe one area that he might need a little more work. And not that he's not out there practicing his defense, but he was certainly drafted as Marlin is a top guy there for his offensive ability. Interesting story. There was not really an opposite field power guy, but he had a couple of massive home runs to left field, his opposite way, which were against rehab pitchers. And rehab pitchers in the minor leagues use Major League Baseballs, and those balls were a little bigger. And our manager, Tony DeFrancesco, pointed that out. That's interesting because Moran, being at this level now, might develop a little more opposite field power because the balls are a little different.
Yeah, they're a little tighter. Okay, that's good stuff. What is it like, the Astros have been with the Fresno Grizzlies for the last 2 years, to have an organization so fraught with good prospects? I mean, you guys have had winning records the last 2 years, including the championship a year ago. It's been a lot of fun for you guys as well, I would imagine.
Oh, it's been great. And it was a big blow for the city of Fresno to lose the Giants, because that's all they really have known there. And to get a team that's not geographically compatible. Yeah. But the thing going in was, hey, the Astros are on the rise. And you showed it last year, and even this year, you still had a winning club. And you have a guy like Carlos Correa and 1 year. And then, all right, Correa goes up. Then it's Tony Kemp's turn.
Yeah.
And then it's, this year where you have A.J. Reed to start the year, and then Moran, and then the times that Moran and Reed are up earlier in the year, up comes Teoscar Hernandez, up comes Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
Brady Rogers is back. You had Musgrove. I mean, it's just it's like a copy machine of guys just pumping out the prospects. It's been a great role, absolutely.
Well, it's been fun for us, too, and it's great to see you, Doug. Thanks for joining us. That's Doug Greenwald, radio broadcaster, Fresno Grizzlies. Thanks for catching up.
Anytime. Thank you, Steve.
Astroline, the official off-season hot stove show for your Houston Astros.
We have Jeff Luno here in the heat of hot stove.
Listen in as Steve Sparks and Robert Ford host an hour-long show.
I'm joined tonight by someone who really doesn't need any introduction.
With your favorite Astros of today and yesterday.
Left-handed pitcher Dallas Keuchel.
Carlos Correa.
George Springer.
Let's give a warm Astroline welcome to Lance Berkman.
Astroline, this fall, right here on the Houston Astros Radio.